Well, good morning. Thanks for joining the presentation. Just, we're a small group, just a show of hands. How many are currently certified health education specialists? And so how about masters? And the other two are thinking about considering CHES or just wanting to get more information on it?
More information.
More information. Okay. Just to get a feel for who we have the audience. So this presentation will talk about the significance of the national standards and accreditation and certification programs. This information is something even those who are CHES and MCHES may not be as familiar with. I don't have any financial gain or information to disclose related to this. So what we wanted to do is describe the significance of the NCCA accreditation for certification programs and discuss how NCHEC specifically is meeting those standards and received accreditation. So this NCCA that you see here is an entity that has oversight over the certifying entities. And there's about 300 programs that are certified with 120 organizations. So in the health professions, you have a number of professions who have certifying entities. Ours is NCHEC in health education. And then this entity here then does oversights and set standards. So it's like the watchdog of the watchdog kind of thing that goes on. It's kind of similar with those of you who work in universities where you have your regional accredited agencies. There's another umbrella group that takes a look at that. So again, you may not be as familiar with this. Before we get into the details, these next two slides is something conceptual I want to really introduce that I don't think we are thinking in these terms. Quite often when you look at entities that are oversight, it's that who has power, or sometimes power is given to another entity. And I don't know if that's really a fair assessment of the way that things should be working or work. I think sometimes this power struggle, like the cartoon shows, happens. But what I like to introduce is we all have a voice, and we all have we're all stakeholders, and what you have is really a dynamic of influencers that are going along. So the focus should be rightfully so on the individual practitioner. Again, regardless of what the discipline is, in our case it would be health education. And if you look at the other stakeholders, we have accrediting agencies, we have professional memberships, we heard one today, SOFI, AHI, School Health Education. We have professional prep programs, our universities, we have employers. So there's really, and the voices can change in intensity depending on what the issue is, what the time is. And what's really interesting when you examine the history of a change in a profession is where the voices come into play. Dr. Wilson had just mentioned the timeline that it took to bring into the field the Master Certified Health Education. And when you said 7 years, I said, wow, that was a long time. So these changes don't happen lightly. For example, one that's breaking right now is the whole idea of online learning. And that's something I've taken an interest in, and I know Dr. Cheney works in that area. So if you look at online learning, what was interesting in is the oversight people, the accrediting agencies, regional accrediting agencies, very interesting, were not skilled at going and evaluating the providers. So you have this dynamic that's going on. So I don't think it's so much this, that it's a power issue as much as a confluence and a dialogue and discussion that needs to take place. Also in this schematic is sometimes we have role conflict. We shouldn't have conflict, but we have different roles. We're members of professional associations. We may sit on an accrediting board. We're also individuals, and we may want to think about it in terms of employers or be part of the university. So the NCCA accreditation standards, there's 21 of them, and they have 5 sections. And we're not going to go through every section in all the 21 standards, but I'll just go through about maybe a half a dozen of them. And they line up about where you would expect them. If you think of the regional accredited agencies, you want to take a look at governance. You want to take a look at resources, what assessments are being done. But also, this is unlike the other regionals. You have recertification and then maintaining your accreditation as well. This is the process that you would go through. to be the things that need to be in place in the process for NCCA accreditation, I want to draw your attention to the very first one. That in and of itself is significant. And some professions or certifying entities can't get past that one. As you saw from the other couple of presentations, this takes a long time to do. Melissa's presentation was talking about you're hearing about role delineation, the CUP project. It takes years to do that. And some certifying entities go forward without doing this job analysis. Also, that the exam has to be defined by the body of knowledge. So a lot of time goes in about this. Reliability and validity. We always talk about reliability and validity. I know we're used to seeing those terms. But how many are in higher ed or doing any teaching? Even if you're a practitioner, you could be teaching. That reliability and validity, as we know, is something that takes a lot of time and effort, and we shouldn't take it lightly. So when we're looking at the examination, and the certifying entities looking at that examination, they want to make sure that you are very circumspect about everything you're doing in that process. Finally, that there's a minimum pass score that's set, and that there are parallel forms and exams created. So we have two examinations, CHES, which began in, I think the first one was 90. The first thing was 89. 90, I think, was the first one. And then MCHES just a couple years ago where we started. So to give you a sense of the timeline here, if you remember Melissa's slide, there were things going on in terms of role delineation and CUP. But the CHES exam, we had this standard met in 2008. And then 5 years later, it was certified in 2013. Then when we came out with the advanced role and a new examination, we went and put the application forward to get the certification. The accreditation. So we're very excited when that examination was accredited. Taking a look at a couple of the standards, again, that it's the purpose of the certification program is to conduct certification activities in a manner that upholds standards for competence, practice, and profession, occupation, role, or skill. I think the three things here is that NCHEC is involved in promoting the profession. Obviously, it's involved in the testing, but also with the continuing education as well. So what I'm going to do is mention the standard in blue and then how NCHEC in red meets the standard. The second one has to do with governance. And if you take a look at the governance structure of NCHEC, it has a commission. It's called BOC, Board of Commissioners. And then it has these three division boards. And the three division boards are very focused on what you're doing in terms of the function. One being the examination, the other one being the continuing education, and a third one would have to do with the relationship with the providers or professional preparation and practice. And the structure that we have in place, I think, is very, very, again, very circumspect, very efficient. This isn't a board of 25, 30 people. Having served on the commission for a number of years, I can say that they do have a sense of autonomy and decision makers, and decisions are made in the appropriate place. I think the commission does policy, but these division boards, when you're on one of them, really can focus on the function that they're to do. And the other thing about the structure is the co-chairs of those division boards then go to the policy-making board. So you kind of have sort of a delegate trustee, well representation going in terms of the functions. We also have a public member who's on the board as well. The public member by design is somebody who is not credentialed, who's different, more of a stakeholder that you would have. Standard three here is also talking about the governing committee of certification includes individuals from the certified population. This, just to show you how dynamic and the decisions were made, is when we went to the advanced level certification, we realized, what if you voted people on the board who no longer have the CHES? They only had the master certified. Therefore, the CHES, the entry level, would not have a voice on the board. So we spotted that, and we had to do some thinking in terms of the policies. And what we came up with is we would have the elections go forward, and as the certificates, you would be able to vote your board members. But if it turned out that you elected somebody who, say, from one of the other certificates here, either CHES, let's say everybody became all MCHES elected, or everybody became CHES, the BOC then would have the authority to appoint somebody so everybody's represented. Then that would make sense. And that's one of the things that you want to ensure in the standard. Financial resources, this would be common. Does the organization have all the financial resources they have? NCHEC is doing very well in terms of the finances. Again, it has the checks in place, does an annual audit. The audits, I think every year I've been on the board, the audit has gone very well. You have the appropriate checks in place that you're able to do in terms of the finances. Standard 5 has to do with the staffing. Again, NCHEC is an independent nonprofit entity, so it works within the nonprofit world. Some of the other oversight entities could be a governance entity, or could be a part of a professional association. But the history of our field decided that we would have an independent entity. So it's a very, there has to be sufficient staff or consultants that are being able to conduct effective certification and recertification activities. What I want to add in here is the term efficient. The standard doesn't say efficient, but when you look at workplace and organizations, I think that this is a very efficient staff that you have. Also, the board is very much a working board. So if you get onto the board and you're interested in doing that, it really is an entity where you have to really work hard. And I think that the staff and board relationships work very well. These are functions that you would expect. You have an executive director. Melissa, who's here today, was just to give you an example of the dynamic of the organization. Melissa, you may recognize as someone who did a lot of the communications, but over time her role started to expand and she was promoted to a deputy executive director. And then we have added an MCHES exam person. To kind of tie in with Dr. Wilson's presentation is down the road strategic planning. Let's say we did get into the field of doing more in foreign countries, we may add a staff member who is maybe playing that role. So I think people are well in place. The finance person is not a CPA, but smaller nonprofits don't necessarily need that, although we have the annual audit. But we have somebody skilled as a financial coordinator. Standard 6 has to do with that we are appropriately publishing and we apply and periodically review the key certifications, policies, and procedures. And this comes up often where we have to take a look at our procedures. And then you are aware that we have 162 entry-level subcompetencies and that we have the eligibility requirements. So sometimes this is just reviewing documents, reviewing policies and procedures, and oftentimes you go back to the beginning of the bylaws that we would have and maybe update those with the changes that take place. Standard 7, again, has to do with publishing description and assessment instruments used to make certification decisions, as well as the research methods. So this has to do with transparency of how the process works. And that's done on the website, the brochure, and the handbook. And just, I don't know how many years it's been, but now we can go on the website, and we have a number, and we go in there, we can check our certification and how we're doing in our continuing education, which is very convenient. I don't know if some of you remember the old paper and pencil. And there was a time when we had the lag time, too. So with technology and the changes that are making, we're almost able to get those, we wouldn't call them, not a transcript. I guess it's a transcript, right? Okay, we call them the transcripts, or updated. We don't have as much lag time. In another presentation, I was even surprised to see how many opportunities there are out there for continuing education. And one that I thought was very significant was the number of self-study type of application opportunities that are out there. Standard 8 is this one is kind of self-evident that you award the certificate only after the knowledge skills are validated by the assessment that you're using. So we keep in line with that. 9 is the program must maintain a list and provide verification of certified individuals. We have our numbers, and then from there we have a list and we keep that list. Also, the confidentiality, NCHEC is very aware of confidentiality. The types of things that we do in terms of, you know, list and mailings that you get is something that would have to be approved. We have a process that's in place that if somebody wants to do research or surveying, but all those are approved by the board. The certificate, and 10, this is winded down, one of the last ones. Again, there's 21 of them that we analyze, define, and publish the performance domains and tasks related to the purpose of the credential and the knowledge skills associated with the performance domains and tasks. So again, with the job analysis, we're doing that every 5 years, and then we'll have the 7 areas of responsibility, the 34 competencies, and then the sub-competencies that we have. Standard 19, to skip it a little bit here, the certification program requires periodic recertification, and for our field, that's every 5 years, and we have to reach a number of continuing education credits to do that, and that's well-publicized. And that we have a recertification requirement. So we're able to meet that as well. And just to end, to do some comparisons, what you're starting to see a lot is the certificate programs that are out there that aren't really certifying. They're not really being certified. So it does a crosswalk that are comparing a certification program like ours with somebody maybe getting a certificate. You know, knowledge is useful, and the knowledge is going to be, the certification is going to be as useful as the people who validate it or think that it's important. But this is somewhat of a concern to ours when maybe the employers may not understand the difference in quality assurance. So the crosswalk is from ours is very focused on the assessment of the individual. Here, when you get a certificate, it's education and training. Again, a big one is job analysis is done. This just looks at what may be reasonable knowledge that's needed. Another one is that the provider is different than the certifier. So like our field is we have an independent certifier. We're not the provider. Required to engage in specified activities designed to measure continued competence. And that's not really seen in the certificates that you have. And again, the website, if you want to learn more about NCCA, there's the website, and then we'll take questions after the final presentation.